Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 24, brought to you by the Global Workspace Association. I am the new executive director, so I have that hat on while I'm recording. I'm super excited about today's guest, and as I say in his intro, he's one of my favorites. He was an early member of Innerspace in Chicago. Alip Shah is co-founder of SoMe, a digital marketing agency based out of Chicago and Atlanta. And he shares with us today some great digital marketing tips for local businesses, so specific to shared space owners. He totally gets our world. So please enjoy. Show notes can be found at everythingcoworking.com/24 and over on the globalworkspaces.org blog. Thanks. I am so excited for today's guest. I probably shouldn't play favorites on my show, but I can tell that Alip is going to be one of my favorite interviews because he's one of my favorite people. He was an early member at Innerspace, which is the co-working space I have in Chicago. And he was just one of those people you love to have as a part of the community. After he left, they graduated into bigger space. People would constantly ask about where Alip went because he was kind of the center of the community and a really great connector and just really engaged in what everybody was doing. Plus, he's a social media expert, and those are very handy to have in co-working spaces. So Alip, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to chat.
I am so excited to chat too, Jamie. You're absolutely one of my favorite people as well. And thank you for the great intro and words.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to kind of dive in today. So we're going to talk about social media, but first, Alip is a co-founder of SoMe, and which is a social media company dedicated to helping businesses grow through social media. But I'll let Alip tell a little bit about his background and a little bit more about the company before we get started.
Absolutely. Thanks. So I actually have a really unusual background. You'd never imagine this, but I started off as an accountant and a CPA. I worked for a fantastic firm called Deloitte and got to consult with very large businesses and travel quite a bit. Before I realized, as all entrepreneurs do, that I was working 80 or 90 hours. And, you know, I'm just going to kind of be a cog in the machine. So I segued my career into owning a toy store called Learning Express Toys out in the suburbs of Chicago. And it was so much fun. I got to literally play with Legos and Playmobil and Infantino and all these great toys at the young age of 23 without even having kids. And it was just a great way to wake up and go to work and grow these businesses and really be an active part of the community. Most of my success was really, I feel, at the toy stores is a lot of what we do at co-working spaces. It's building a community of moms and parents, connecting them to resources, and ultimately, for our business, is making kids smile at the end of the day. I was able to grow it into two locations, spent about 5 years growing those businesses and sold them, and then really kind of drew on my marketing experience to think about what I wanted to do next. So I freelanced and did some marketing work for a lot of business-to-business communities. Early on, we got a desk at Innerspace Coworking and then really focused in on social media and digital marketing is kind of where we landed.
Yeah, so tell us, so you... I love your background. I'd forgotten about the accounting piece. I remembered the toy shop piece, which I think is helpful because you've been a small business owner, so you totally get what it means to work on SEO and work on social media and kind of do it from that perspective. And a lot of our listeners are shared space owners trying to figure out how to leverage social media for their business. So, I mean, I kind of will just... let you, you know, share with you. I have kind of a list of questions that I, you know, passed over. Just really curious about your recommendations to the group around, you know, platforms to choose, how much time do you spend on social media, how do we think about it in relation to the sales funnel. But I know you have some good nuggets to share, so I'll let you kind of take it from here.
Absolutely. You know, I when I first opened up my toy stores, probably very similar to some of the backgrounds that may be shared, is I started in the world of like direct mail and Yellow Pages and had to transition really quickly to what was back then social media of, you know, Facebook and Google Local Places and Google AdWords. So I've been kind of in this digital space from kind of ground zero. And one of the things that I advise our clients and friends and colleagues is to just focus on the million-dollar question of, you know, creating great content. And it's a really hard concept because we're flooded with, you know, articles on the 7 ways to create compelling content or the 8 ways to like create buzzworthy, you know, blogs and infographics. And it's just really, really confusing. But I like to just take a step back and think about, well, you open up a shared location or a co-working space in your neighborhood, in your community, and there's a reason why you chose that location. There's a lot of perhaps buzz in, for example, like the West Loop in Chicago, or maybe you're by a lakefront or you're in the heart of an up-and-coming community. There's content all around you that doesn't necessarily have to be shared workspace specific, you know. So I know I'm not touching on social media just yet, mm-hmm. but what I want our listeners to think about is, you know, what is the content that we're going to share on our social media channels? It could be everything from like the hot coffee spots near your location to managing, you know, daycare and childcare while you're at work at a co-working space. Maybe what a local gym is to go to after work. What are some of my transit options and what's going on in public transportation around my neighborhood? I also think really interestingly enough is focusing in on your members and their businesses and not just kind of member spotlights and testimonials, but tell me about their business and why it's helpful and how it's growing and who are some of the people there. This is content, all content that I want, you know, everyone to think about as it can be shared. And that's kind of a great measurement point for you, more than anything else, is if you're going to spend all this time creating content and taking pictures and creating great visuals, we want people to actually share it, learn from it, and distribute it. So think about your social media channels as more of a distribution point versus something that you have to go and kind of actively manage and stress about. Because if you can take it that one step back in thinking about what kind of content you want to provide, it'll make social media management a lot easier and kind of, I think, more authentically speaks to you as a business owner that's creating this great community in your own organization. Because you're part of it, you can then create some great stuff around it. So that's kind of my whole take on just content creation for social media channels.
I like that. I'll just jump in for 1 second. I'll let you continue. But that totally hit home, because instead of sort of thinking about it as a stressful thing and trying to figure out what to create in terms of content, if we just focus on what we do best and where our passion is, it's building up our community, the folks in our space, and then the community around us, and sharing those things and sharing their news and helping to promote others, which is kind of what we naturally love to do. And if we look for those opportunities, then it's kind of a win-win. We find, I know in Chicago, a couple of the times where we've had our Facebook posts just like go through the roof in terms of shares and comments, it's because we've, you know, tagged a bunch of people in the community, and it's been, you know, some sort of fun news about something that opened, or somebody made, you know, some top 10 list, and those tend to get a lot of shares and engagement, and those are easy.
Absolutely. I mean, oftentimes the businesses and organizations that you're nurturing in your space often have wider networks than you.
Right. Yes.
Right. So totally to your point, Jamie, like they're your best promoters of content because they already love you. They're already in your space. They have a huge network. Create content that speaks to them, about them, and they'll be more willing to share it. And you actually hit on a great point. Oftentimes I'm asked, you know, what platform should I be on? And I love what you just said about, you know, you started this business because it's a passion. What is your passion? And does it extend into photography or writing? or visuals. And if it's none of the above, it's totally fine because you still have a viewpoint, or you can have a point of view on how to curate content around your community that you want. As a business owner, you're the heart and soul of your space. So pick an angle and a strong, strong point of view for whichever channel you embrace. Shared workspaces, co-working, all of those things are, you know, it is getting more and more competitive. And so having a point of view that you can stand on will help differentiate you from everyone else. You know, if I'm really hard-pressed to say what platforms, you know, I would recommend to a shared workspace, it'd probably be things like Instagram and Twitter. And I would keep it simple in those two areas. Like, pick one or two platforms that you like and feel comfortable on versus kind of running after every new, you know, social app that's out there, and really own them. Because these are going to be, these social platforms will be points of conversion, points of differentiation for you as someone, you know, if someone just searches on Google for a shared workspace in a particular zip code or a location.
So I have to ask, Instagram over Facebook?
I know. I had a feeling. You know, I think here's the thing about Facebook that I love. I love it as a distribution channel. I love it as if you have a great piece of content, you can share it. Do I think, you know, someone will get find you or do business with you because you have or you don't have a Facebook page? You know, I really doubt it. I think as we all look at how we use social channels and what we use them for, Facebook is more of a relaxed, hanging out, catching up with friends and family type of channel. Even if I'm an entrepreneur, I'm so inundated with so much other messaging that I want to stay focused in on you know, my friends and family that I haven't seen or talked to in ages. So I think as social media evolves and kind of what's happening in the social media industry, Facebook is becoming less relevant because it's purely pay to play now, right? Yeah. Like boosting posts and getting an ad budget and measuring, you know, kind of your business's worth by how many likes you have. You know, I'll share, SoMe Connect doesn't have a Facebook page. We just deleted it, I think, 3 months ago because we just didn't find it as a channel that we wanted to maintain. And it really didn't provide any ROI for our business. So there you have it, a social media agency that doesn't have a Facebook page.
Yeah, I know. I love it. This is juicy. So no, it's good food for thought because I know we're always struggling. And I think part of it, to your point, is sort of where is your passion? Because if you just cannot get yourself into Instagram, then it's going to be hard for you to maintain. So maybe, you know, try to find the platform that you'll actually put the work into. But good to know. I'm going to be thinking about that.
Yeah, and going and relating to that, you know, it's if you can pick one or two that you're really comfortable with. And sometimes I'm asked about LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn we're so used to using as a career kind of platform, and the ads on LinkedIn cost a lot of money. Are we really going to reach an entrepreneur, or are we going to, you know, reach someone that's making a mid-career decision to launch their own business? There's just a lot of variables. I think it's a good platform. Some of the game in SEO or content marketing is to be on as many channels as you possibly can be just to get those backlinks. But at SoMe, and my personal opinion and point of view on this is that less is more. And I'd rather you win on one or two things that you love and like because you'll most likely attract those types of people to your business and grow your community that way. And then it'll make that time commitment on social media is a lot easier. You know, you can then, you'll be happy to spend 10 or 15 minutes kind of maintaining your channel each day, you know, spending like an hour or so a week to think about, you know, what you're going to talk about that week and research some posts, kind of look up the businesses that are in your community to see what they're posting and talking about. I'd even recommend for shared workspaces a specific inbox where businesses can just submit material to you. So you can just, you know, more thoughtfully curate stuff. But also businesses aren't like pressed to like just send you something on the spot because you need content right away. So I, you know, it can be very manageable if you can kind of pare down how many channels you're on and kind of what your intention is for each channel. Is it to grow business? Is it to highlight the community? Is it to reach out to press and influencers in the community? All of those things will help you maximize the time that you spend on the channels.
Excellent. Thank you. What's next?
So some of it is, the biggest question that I get asked is, or even when I go out on pitches for my agency is, companies and organizations and businesses are excited to be on social media, but more so their excitement relates to their perception of how social media drives business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being in the industry for about 5 years now, I have seen social media contribute very little to businesses' bottom lines or top lines. And I've really come around to thinking about social media as a PR outlet, as a brand awareness, as a kind of media relations opportunity. And I know it's not, you know, the classic thing to say about social media, but it's really something that doesn't drive business. It's something that helps and assists your business. And I always like to think of the sales funnel for a space like yours or a shared workspace to be, hey, I'm looking for a shared space or a shared office or a co-working spot. I'm going to look at Google, or I might get a word of mouth recommendation. You know, I'm going to Google you. I'm going to come to your website. I'm going to check it out, see if I feel comfortable. And then to kind of seal the deal, I'm going to check out your social networks and see, you know, what's a member saying about it, or what are they posting inside the community, and that might compel me to come on an office tour. So I really want you to think of social media as a kind of a tool that will assist that conversion, but it won't make that conversion. And if you can kind of think about it that way, you won't be so disappointed, and you'll be kind of, I think, more focused on the time you spend on social media versus kind of SEO and, you know, digital, you know, content marketing and all those areas.
So tell me your perspective on WeWork, who looks like they're spending millions on local Facebook ads. Every time I log into Facebook, WeWork ad.
Yeah. You might also be visiting their website and getting retargeted like crazy.
Maybe. No.
But
website?
There is, you know, I love this question. It's a great question because there's, when I think about the social media world, there's three avenues. One is content creation for social media channels. That's something that you can outsource comfortably. It won't be very costly. I mean, it might be costly, but it's not going to break your budget. Another avenue in social media is community management. This is that one-to-one hand combat. That you engage with other spaces and just your consumer to kind of whet their appetite to come in the door. Mm-hmm. And then the third and most prolific area is kind of the ads. And I love social ads. I think because of the amount of demographic and psychographic data that we can have access to, you can now slice and dice your customer. You can find similar customers to who you have in your space. I absolutely recommend it. But I encourage to power it with great stuff behind it. You know, it's a top 10 list. It's a member spotlight. Maybe it's a quick video of your space. Think beyond kind of just, you know, the hey, we're in your neighborhood, here's a free pass, mm-hmm, type opportunity versus, you know, show me a video. Show me, you know, the top three testimonials of people working in your space, or tell me about people graduating. Because clearly, you know, while that's, you know, outgoing revenue, people are successful at your space and have grown their business to even think about those kinds of next steps. So I think there's different ways to approach it. I definitely love social ads. I love remarketing. I love retargeting. I love all of those things. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be on those channels, though, because okay, most of these ads, yeah, bounce you off to landing pages.
To the landing page, yeah. No, it's a great point.
Yep.
Okay. That was a great answer. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pause for 1 second and get my power cord. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay.
All right, I'm back.
Okay. I'll let you, let's see. I think you could just dive in whenever you're ready. I just made a note and I'll just tell my editor to take this little piece out.
Thank you.
No problem.
Another common question I'm asked is like, how much do I outsource versus keep in-house? I think the biggest trade-off to consider is just that authentic communication. You know, you own the business, you run the business. How much of that do you want to put into an outsourced agency that's going to be responding to your business, perhaps at an early stage? And I think some points or some areas of opportunity that you can outsource is kind of content creation or the curation or the strategy. Those are things that you might not have expertise in that need help with. But I would strongly advocate to retain community management, kind of that day-to-day cadence of responding, finding, and identifying folks to talk to in-house or do it yourself. Just think about how much you love talking to a prospective member that walks in the door. And think about that if an agency can actually replicate, you know, that warmth and feeling that you have online. So I really advocate, you know, that community management to stay in-house. It's often the most expensive part of a social media engagement. So if you are considering to outsource community management, there's a lot of great questions to ask. Things like, you know, how soon are you going to respond? Are you online the entire day? What hours are you going to be online? Who are you looking to talk to? And how are you going to respond to people that have questions or queries? Those are some questions I'd ask if you are planning on thinking about going that route for community management. And then really lastly, I would say, how do we measure success and return on investment from either our time or the money on an agency is another common question that I get asked. And I really would advocate to think about it in terms of how many engagements am I getting from this piece or this post and how many shares am I getting? The whole goal of content creation is not to just, you know, speak or talk to yourself. Rather, it's to get messaging out in the world for people to share and engage and talk and like and respond to. I'm a big fan of A/B testing. There's now headline testers out there. There's like quick focus groups that you can test headlines out on. But really focus in on creating content that can be shared or engaged with, versus just posting for the sake of posting is what I would recommend. And have great analytics tools. Because as much as I don't think social media can, we can use social media to illustrate closed business, we can measure social media's impact on that social assist. And that's right in your Google Analytics that you can tell where people are coming from and, you know, did a social media interaction help them make the decision to, you know, for example, sign up for a walking tour or a office tour and whatnot.
I think that's a great point. I actually want to drill into that a little bit, which is if you're on social, like Facebook's a good example, if you're on there just sharing and sort of interacting and never driving people to content on your website, then you're pretty far from a sales funnel activity, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
It takes a lot of more work, but I think, you know, part of what you're saying is, you know, if you're going to be on Facebook, make sure you have good content to share and, you know, drive people to that content or to a landing page that you can get them, you know, maybe they go to a, you know, top 10 list and at the bottom they can email in or opt into your email list, then they're on your email list and then you can email out, you know, newsletters or, you know, special offers for, you know, coming in for tours or that kind of thing, or, you know, retarget and run ads or whatever. But if you're just spending a bunch of time kind of posting or reposting other people's content, then you're never going to get into that flow and it's unlikely somebody's going to go from that to coming into your space.
Absolutely. You know, I really think of it like working out. Like you could work out and just go through the motions and not gain any muscle, or you can kind of put your heart and soul in it and become, you know, a super athlete. And that's kind of why I emphasize a lot of just staying focused on one or two core channels. It gives you a lot more time to breathe and think about the types of content you want to create. My rule of thumb on content is, you know, spend 20% of your time making it and 80% of the time, you know, promoting it. Using things like BuzzStream, for example, if you're, let's say you pick Twitter, you have this great top 10 list about the top coffee houses in your neighborhood. You know, you can use something like BuzzStream to really isolate influencers that may have talked about coffee shops or journalists or top-notch bloggers, and maybe, you know, do some one-on-one interaction with their Twitter accounts to promote that piece of content. So I think you're absolutely right, Jamie. It's really being thoughtful and intentional about, hey, I have this post. Maybe I have two pieces of great content every single week, and that's okay. It's totally fine. As long as you're totally not dead on the channel that you are using, you can go a little bit slower and spend more time promoting it than just churning out stuff that people may unlike or unfollow you altogether. One thing, too, I wanted to add is it's not easy or intuitive to build a community online. A lot of your efforts in the beginning, because we're in a kind of a more of a real estate or a shared workspace approach, you're going to have to go out and find those fans and followers. And it's going to be a lot of work in the beginning to get even an audience to talk to. So you can, of course, buy them in terms of like running like campaigns or promoted pins or promoted grams, whatever it is that you want to do. But I would say if you can think of two or three key content opportunities and find 10 or 15 people to reach out to, you'll at least kind of fuel that growth a lot faster than just using kind of paid ads.
And in terms of content, and I forget this a lot too, because you're, it's like, you know, that constant, effort to think of content ideas. But, you know, as you're saying this, it really should be content that's relevant to the local landscape, right? Because it doesn't help you to have a follower that's not in, like, it might not be a customer, basically. I mean, if you're a local business. So, maybe it's good for social proof or what, you know, whatever it is that people kind of, you know, look at when they've already thought about coming into your space. But if you're looking, you know, to get leads, then it's not really helpful if it's not local.
I agree with that. I think unless you're a national organization, right, or a national player on the scene, your best approach is going to be to, as you do internally in your own space, is to really embrace that local community online. There's so many opportunities, like the chambers, you know, the local government. There's so many key people in these communities, like awesome businesses that may never be customers that you can kind of partner up with and co-promote. You never know. But I think sticking and being local is your best point of differentiation to your unique advantages that you have. And so I definitely would advocate for that local approach. You know, I also think as a separate kind of tip is we really get overwhelmed by this notion of creating great content because we put all these modifiers around it. But how about if we just focused in on like this month I'm going to focus on four key articles or blog posts that are like 500 words on things that I like to do in my neighborhood. You know, maybe it's the restaurants, maybe it's the gyms, maybe it's, you know, activities, maybe it's a festival, a street festival that you can cover. So use that as your baseline content and then fill in the rest of the week with photos of your space. Maybe it's a member spotlight on how their business can be useful to other businesses. Maybe it's a some massive construction project in your neighborhood and with some of your thoughts on it. So there shouldn't be this pressure of creating content, you know, every single day of the week. I would just say, you know, try to focus on creating four solid pieces that you can use throughout the month, one every week. You spend some time promoting it, and then you can kind of fill in with some photos and some news and some, you know, other content with your members. But it gives you time to promote it. and really activate it. And then it also helps your SEO. It helps, you know, your other digital marketing efforts. I mean, there's so many ways that time investment will help you just outside of social media.
Yeah, and I actually love that perspective because I think sometimes we get so overwhelmed by this idea of content creation that we just don't do it versus thinking, okay, one thing a week, which might sound like it's not enough, but if you were just really consistent with one thing a week, yep, then that value would just be incremental over time. And to your point with, you know, for SEO and all the other benefits you get out of content creation. So think small, but think consistent.
Yep. It's just one deep breath at a time.
Totally. Well, I've been taking a bunch of notes because I have a bunch of ideas that have been spurred by your advice. And I want to mention all of the notes and any links to tools that Olip has mentioned will be in the show notes. So you can go to the website, everythingcoworking.com, and check out the show notes there. Olip, speaking of tools, you mentioned BuzzStream. Are there any other? I had not heard of that one, so I'm definitely checking that one out. Anything else that the average listener might not already know about that you would mention?
You know, I love Sketch and Social Bro. Sketch is a great tool to kind of take screenshots and annotate them and highlight different things. Social Bro is great for analytics and timings and when your audience is online. I do love super traditional tools like Sprout Social, and I'm obsessed with Google Analytics. But like all my kind of thoughts in this show, I kind of stick to this core set of tools because they pretty much have everything that you need. You know, there's some photo editing apps that you can use, but that's a lot of personal preference. But if you have these five tools in your toolbox, the Sprout Social, the Analytics, something like Sketch, Social Bro, and BuzzStream, you'll have a good toolkit to be successful.
Okay. I love it. Well, thank you so much for all of your tips and advice today and helping us think through content creation and keeping it simple and how we can use social to really in our business effectively. So I appreciate your time, and it was great to catch up.
Awesome.
Yeah. And where can we, if anybody wants to learn more about SoMe, where can we find you online?
Well, you can always find me online on our live chat. So you can chat us up, or you can visit us at SoMeConnect.com for more information.
Perfect. And I will include those links in the show notes as well. Olip, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. It was so great to catch up.
We'll
take care.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.